Begin the current Daf Masech, the Yuma Daf Samach Tes. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf. That is, in our Mishnah, we mentioned that when the Kohen Gadol, after they sent away the Sar Lazazel and they went to burn the Parm and Sirman Asrafim, he goes to read from the Sefer Torah. There's three different parashas that it reads, and that the Mishnah gave him a choice that tells us that he can wear either the Big Day Lavan of the Big Day Kohuna that he wears specifically on Yom Kippur, or he can wear his own garments. And that the Gemara wanted to make a dig that you see that obviously it's not an Avodah, and that's why he could wear his own garments, and he does not need Big Day Kohuna, yet we allow him to wear Big Day Kohuna even when he's not doing Avodah. So you see that Big Day Kohuna are nitnu litnas lehonis ben, you can have pleasure from them. Now the Gemara said not, because it's Sarech Avodah, so it's somewhere in the middle that you would still be allowed to wear it even if it's not uniquely an Avodah per se. Now, so that the Gemara brought us, because that was a question that we had, are Big Day Kohuna something that is nitnu litnas behen or not? So one of the rayas that the Gemara wanted to bring from a Mishnah Maseches Tamid was from the fact that the Kohanim were allowed to fold up their Big Day Kohuna and put it under their head and use it as a pillow. So obviously you're allowed to have pleasure from it even when you're not doing the Avodah. On that, Rav Papa had said that no, don't say Tachas Rishain, don't say that it was under the head. Rather, it was Keneged Rishain, it was on the side of their head. And the reason why it was permitting it, although you're not even using it, is because although one might pass gas while he's sleeping, that's not a problem, that's not considered inappropriate. However, to put it under one's head would actually be forbidden because one is not allowed to have enough from it, not during the Avodah. And that the Gemara continues and says, Hachinam Mistaber. It actually is more logical to say, although it sounds like he's being doichik and he's saying that don't read it under the head, it actually means on the side of the head, and therefore there's no raya that one is allowed to go ahead and have enough in the Big Day Kohuna, not during the Avodah. Because it makes more sense to say the Keneged Rishain, that it was on the side of the head. Because if you would assume that it was like how the words are in the Mishnah Maseches Tamid, that actually means that they would fold up the garments and put it under their head as a pillow, and therefore, then we wanted to derive from it, you see, it could have pleasure from it, even not during the Avodah. But how can you say that they would be able to put it under their head, but typically Mishim Klayim? Forget about the question that we had regarding if you're allowed to have enough from them or not when it's not during the Avodah. So that would be the question that would be dependent on if you read it under or on the side. However, you cannot read that it's under the head, even disregarding the point of having hanafmid, because the problem of klayim, of the forbidden mixture of wool and linen. The ikah avneid, because one of the dalad begodim of the Big Day Kohuna of a regular kohen is the belt. And even if you want to say that yes, a lot of derived pleasure from it, not during the Avodah, but he's having enough from the pleasure of the of utilizing it as a pillow, and the belt of the kohen has klayim in it, has linen and wool, and you cannot have pleasure from klayim. So that itself should be a problem when you're not doing the Avodah. So the Gemara explains, Hanicha. It would make a lot of sense that this would not be a concern about using it as a pillow, disregarding the idea about having enough mit or not, just because there's a problem of climbing. According to the one that learns that the belt of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, which was made out of linen, that holds Zehu Avnetir Shokoyin Hedyid, that was actually the same belt that the Kohen Hedyid wears throughout the rest of the year, and that is just like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, his white linen belt did not have wool in there, it was made entirely of linen. So too, the Kohen Hedyid the rest of the year also did not have any wool in it. So that makes sense according to that opinion that yes, that's not a question. You could learn tachas that you put it under their heads because there was no climb, it was just linen like the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim is purely linen. And therefore, then you could say it's under the head and then maybe they were able to have pleasure from it, not during the Avodah. However, the Gemara clarifies the question, the proof of that must be like Rav Papa, that it must be on the side of the head, not under the head, because Elamando Amar Avnitir Shal Kohen Gadol, Loizehu Avnitir Shal Kohen Hedyid. However, according to the opinion that holds that the Kohen Hedyid's belt, although it seems like they wear the same garments, they're both wearing the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, and the Kohen Hedyid, a regular Kohen, the rest of the year wear four white linen garments, that there is a machlekes, and one opinion holds that their belts were not the same. Because although the belt of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim was purely linen, the belt of the Kohen Hedyid was like the Kohen Gadol the rest of the year, where his belt was made out of linen with wool, which was klayim. Now, during the Avodah, they were allowed to wear. However, not during the Avodah, to put it under their head, Ma'iklamemo, what are you going to say? It must be like Rav Papa, that it's not Tachas Roisha, must be Keneged Roisha, because forget about again having hana'ah, but just the problem of having pleasure from having a pillow made out of klayim, which includes the avnet, which according to that opinion, the belts of the kain, the regular kahanim, were made out of klayim. You can't have pleasure from that. So it must be, like Rav Papa had answered that, to say it's not a raya from that Mishnah that you could have pleasure from it not during the avodah, because not talking about under the head, it must be talking about the side of the head, as we're proving now in the Gemara, must be on the side of the head, because underneath the head you would have the additional problem of klayim. Now, the Gemara says that maybe it's not a raya, because if you're going to say that klayim, the whole prohibition of forbidden mixture of wool and linen, is belavisha v'alahu da'asar, is only forbidden if you're wearing it or if you're putting it on top of you. However, you would think maybe b'hatsa shari, but putting it as a bedspread, something that you're laying on, that's permitted. But if you're telling the b'raisa, not like that. There's a pasuk in Mayikra that says, "Uveged kaloyim shatnis," a garment made out of forbidden mixture of wool and linen, lo yalalecha, you're not allowed to put it on you. Now, that's true that the Brice is saying from the pasuk, it's only forbidden if it's on you. You're wearing it, it's on you. Avalata mutalati, you're right, you are really permitted to use it as a bedspread, a pillow, something that you're laying on, tachtecha, underneath you. Aval, however, amr chachamim asr lasakein, the sages said it's forbidden to do that. Now, what's the reason? Maybe there's going to be a thread that's going to wrap itself around the person's flesh. And that is, although it's under you, it will come on top of you, that one thread. Now, if you have that thread of the woolen linen from this woolen garment, if you have one thread on top of you, you're having hana of halah on your body from klayim. And therefore, the sages said that it's forbidden. So therefore, again, you cannot say that it would have been permitted because that's b'hatza, that's minatari, but minrabanan, it is asr either way, even if it's underneath the person. So therefore, again, it must be that it was keneged roisha, not tachas roisha, because you would have the problem of klayim. Now, so then the Gemara tries to say another approach that it wouldn't be a riot. V'chitam, if you're going to say, demafsik le midi beini beini, maybe this that they use their garments, like a pillow, yes, one of them was the avnet, the belt, which had klayim, which was made out of woolen linen. And you're right, it's even forbidden, even b'hatza, even as a bedspread. So you can't lay on it, because it might actually come on top of you. And therefore, that would be a raya that it wasn't underneath the head, it was on the side of the head. But the Gemara is saying that maybe there were some things between. A person had five pillows. Maybe it was the gartel, the belt, the avni, was not the one right underneath his head. Maybe it was like beneath a few layers. And therefore, you're not on top of it. And therefore, it wouldn't be prohibited because there for sure it's not going to come over your flesh. And that the Gemara says, but v'amr Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi Rabbi Shimon Levi, that Amar Rabbi Mishum Kahal Kadisha Shabishalayim, Rabbi said in the name of the holy congregation Yerushalayim, that Afila Eser Matzais Zul Gabzu, even if it is 10 bedspreads, it's 10 pillows, 10 blankets, one on top of the other, v'klayim tachtein, the bottom one is klayim, Asr Lishnalein, it's still forbidden to sleep on it. This that we said, that it's forbidden to have it underneath you, we didn't make any differences, what's called loy plug. Even if the bottom one, under 10 bedspreads, is klayim, it's still forbidden to lay on it. Say elalav, shema minos. So obviously the Gemara says, what we can infer from here, is keneged rishayim. It must be, like Rav Papa had answered, that one cannot go ahead and say that it's tachas roisha, and hence you see they could have anah from it, not during the avodah. Because he said, no, don't read it underneath the head, read on the side of the head. Now, the Gemara is proving you have to say that, like what he's saying, that it's not underneath this head. Because according to the one that says the avnet was made out of a klayim, even though it's under you, and even if it's 10 layers underneath you, there would still be the isser of having hanof from this klayim, and therefore it must be that it was not under Rishayim, it was only keneged Rishayim. Shema Minah, so the Gemara infers from me, and therefore again, there's no raya from that end of the Mishnah, Masechtas Tamid, to say that one can have hanof in the Bigdei Kahuna, not during the time of the Avodah. That was the approach of Rav Papa. Ravashi Amar, he argues, and he says, Loyalam tachas rishayin, you could say the reading as it's written over there that actually they would put their garments underneath their head. Now, but then the question is, and you know, the Gemara wanted to say it's not a raya, read it as keneged. But now we have even stronger proof that you have to say keneged, because of Ahokah Besanim Eklayim. What do you mean? How could he say it's underneath the head? And thereby then we'll say maybe that you're having hanah from it, not during the Avodah, but there's an additional problem, which according to that opinion, everyone should agree if the Avnit's made out of Klayim, that you're having hanah from Klayim as using it as a pillow. And that is what Ravashi answers. That's not a question. Because Bigdei Kahuna caution him. The garments of Kahuna are very hard. Hence, one does not get warmed up from the Bigdei Kahuna. Therefore, there is no problem of Klayim. Ki hadam Rav Huna b'Reidi Rishua, that he qualified that the is of klayim is only when you're getting pleasure out of it. That high namte gamde de nerish, this hard felt of nerish, sharia is permitted. And the reason why is because there's no is of klayim when you're putting something on you, because on you has to be similar, the is of halah has the same as the is of levisha of wearing the garment. that just like by wearing, you have the pleasure of the warming up a person, that's when it's forbidden. But when what you're putting on is hard, it doesn't warm you up. It's like putting on a cardboard box. You're not really getting any pleasure out of it. And therefore, that is why you could say it was tachas rishayim. And then there's no problem of klayim, because the whole problem of klayim is when you have enough from it, and here you're not having enough from it, and therefore you could still say that it's tachas rishayim, and you don't have to amend it like Rav Papa said it to say that it was keneged rishayim. Now the Gemara goes back to the original question that we had posed on the previous daf regarding, is one allowed to have enough from Bigdei Kahuna, not during the time of the Avodah or not? That is, the Torah says that they should wear Bigdei Kahuna when they're doing the Avodah. So even though it's kodshim, it's things of sanctity that you're not allowed to generally have enough from, but when you're doing it, that's the Avodah. But the question was, when you're not doing the Avodah, are you allowed to go ahead and utilize the Bigdei Kahuna or not? So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, clear raya from the following brisa. The Bryce says the Bigdei Kahuna, the Kahana garments, Hayyitza behen l'medina asif. Someone goes out to the country, goes into the city, he goes out and into Yerushalayim, and he wears the garments there, that's forbidden, because that's considered disrespectful, because you're doing it in a mundane way with the Kahana garments. These are designated for the Beis HaMikdash. However, Ube Mikdash, if one is a Kohen and he's walking around the Beis HaMikdash, now that's whether he's doing the Avodah when he's walking with the Kahana garments, even when he's not doing, that's permitted. And the reason is, as the Braisa says clearly, which resolves our question, because the Kahana garments are permitted to derive pleasure from them. So that clearly answers the question that you're allowed to have enough from them even not during the Avodah. And hence, if there's no problem with climbing, you could actually put it under the head and use it as a pillow. The only problem was going into the city and using it in a mundane type of way. That's something that's forbidden. Now, the Gemara asks on that halacha. Of Medina law, is it really true that one is not allowed to go outside of the Beis HaMikdash with the Bigdei Kahuna, because that's considered disrespectful? But for time, the Bryce says follows. Says that Be'esem Chamisha B'Tevis, the 25th of Tevis, Yom Har Grizim, it was called the Day of Har Grizim, of the Mount Grizim, which is some type of a Yom Tov, Dulele Misbud, that we don't make any eulogies. We consider it a day like a Yom Tov that you don't do a Hesbud. And what's the purpose of this Yom Tov? What's the function? Why is there a Yom Tov? Because Yom Shebikshu Kutiyim Es Beis Lekenu, that was the day that the Kutiyim desired to destroy, to towards our Beis HaMikdash, Melech Sandras, Maikdain Lachrivi, that's where they had requested from Alexander the Macedonian to destroy our Beis HaMikdash, and he gave them permission to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Now, so the Jews came running to Shimon HaTzadik, the Kohen Gadol, and they told him about what was going on, that they wanted to destroy, and Alexander gave them permission to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So what did Shimon HaTzadik do? Lavish Bigdei Kahuna. He put on the garments of Bigdei Kahuna, v'nis'atev b'Bigdei Kahuna, and he wrapped himself in the Kahana garments. And he took the most noble, the most respected of the Jewish people with him. And they went with torches of fire in their hands. Now, the entire night, these people were coming from this side. And these people come from the other side. And that is the Jewish people with Shimon HaTzadik were walking in one direction. And Alexander with the Ketiyim were coming from the other direction. Until the break of dawn, the light of dawn came. Once the light of dawn came, so Alexander said to the Ketiyim that were with him, Mihalalu, who are these people walking towards me? So Amalei, they said to him, Yehudim Shemar Debach, these are the Jews that they rebelled against you. So Kivin Shegil Antipatres, once they reached Antipatres, Zarchachama, that's when the sun was already shining. Upogu Zebezeh, and then these two camps that were walking towards each other from opposite directions reached each other. Now, Kivin Shirah L'Shimon HaTzadik, once Alexander saw Shimon the righteous, Shimon HaTzadik, Yerid Mimir Kavtoi V'Shtach L'Vanav. He got down from his chariot and he bowed down in front of Shimon HaTzadik. So Amaloi, they said to Alexander, Melech Gadol Kamaischa Yishtachav Elihudi Zeh, such a great king like you is going to bow down to this Jew? So Amalehem, so Alexander told them, Demus Diyukni Shal Zeh, the picture of the image of this individual, a reference to Shimon HaTzadik, Menatzachas Lefana Bebeis Malchamti, he goes ahead and he wins the wars in front of me when I'm waging war. His image goes in front and wins the war for me. So Amalehem, so he said to the Jews, Loma Basim, why'd you come? So they responded to Alexander, Efshir Bayis Shemes Balamboy Olecha Vamachuscha, is it possible that the house, a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, that where we daven for you and for your kingdom, Shaloi Ticharv, that it shouldn't be destroyed, Yasucha Evdi Kechom Lachrivoy, so idol worshippers have fooled you into destroying it? So Lahem, he said to them, Mihalal, who are these people that wanted me to destroy your temple? So Amalai, they said to him, Kutayim halalu shamdu lefenecha. These are the Kutayim that are standing here amongst you. They're trying to fool you and to say that you give them permission to destroy our Beis HaMikdash. So Amalahem, so he said to the Jewish people, Harehem mesurin biyadechem. They're given over into your hands. Do with them as you please because of what they have tried to do. So miyad nokfum bikfeim. So the Jewish people went and they pierced them in their heels. V'talum bezinvei suseim. And then they hung them from the tails of their horses. V'ymegaren oison ala kutzim balbarkonim. And then they dragged them on the thorns and the thistles. At shegiu lahar Gerizim, until they reached the Mount Gerizim, which was the place where the Ketiyim were, where they lived. Kibin shegiu lahar Gerizim. Once they reached Har Gerizim, charshuhu v'zaruhu karshina. So then they plowed it and they planted it with vetch. Kiderach shebikshu lasal beis lakenu, like they wanted to do to the house of our God, to the Beis HaMikdash. That day they made a yomtiv, and that's why it's called Yoyim Har Gerizim, which was on the 25th of Tevis that they celebrated, and that's why they didn't do eulogies on that day. Now, however, the question that's being posed over here is, we see that Shimon HaTzadik put on the big dikahuna, and he walked out, he was on the road somewhere, and he was out of the Temple Mount area, and yet we said before that one is not allowed to go out into the Medina, somewhere out of the Beis HaMikdash with the big dikahuna, and here we see clearly Shimon HaTzadik did that. So the Gemara gives two answers. If you want, you could say ru'uyin lebigdei kuhuna. These were garments that were fit to be bigdei kuhuna, but they weren't sanctified yet. So therefore, there was no problem about taking them out of the Beis HaMikdash. If you want, you could say, based on the pasuk in Tehillim, that says, Eis lasis la'Hashem. If it's a time to do for Hashem, in other words, when there's a time to do something for the sake of Hashem's name, heferus or yasecha, then they nullified your Torah. In other words, then it's permitted to nullify parts of the Torah, and that's what Shimon HaTzadik was doing, because the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. So although, yes, it's generally forbidden to do mundane type of activities, like going out of the Temple Mount with the Big Dekuna, this was a situation that was an exception, it was extreme circumstance, and that's why he went out with the Big Dekuna. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. So he said, we're up to the process in the day of our Masechta, which is the day of Yom Kippurim, that after he did the Big Day Zav, and he's towards the end of the Big Day Lavan. So then he would read, after they sent off the Sar La'Azazel, and they went to burn out the Parm and the Sar HaNisrafim out of three camps, then he would be reading from the Sefer Torah. So it says, when they would start this process, Chazan HaKnesses Neitel Sefer Torah, so the Shamish would go to the Shul, which was right there by the Azara, he would take the Sefer Torah, he would give it then to the Reish HaKnesses, and the Reish HaKnesses would give it to the Skan, and then the Skan would give it to the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara wants to make an inference, Shema Mina, we could infer from this, that Chelkin covered Latamad B'makam Rab, that we could designate some type of honor to a student in the place of where the greater, the Rebbe, is there. And that is because we see that although the Kohen Gadol, who's the greatest of them all, is there, but still the Shamish would give some honor to the Reish HaKnesses, who would then give some honor to the Skan. And this was all taking place in front of the Kohen Gadol. And obviously we don't consider it like diminishing the honor of the great one, like who are you honoring in front of me? He's the Kohen Gadol. You can't give honor to someone else that's lower down. You see, that's not a problem. Abai says, no, it's not a raya. Kula mishum kavod de kain gadlahi. No, to the contrary, passing it along this line of great dignitaries, of great people, actually increases the honor of the kain gadlahi, because they're showing him that look how many people are under you, and you're the greatest of them all. But maybe that's what Abai is saying. Generally, it would be forbidden if you're giving honor just to the one under, and there's nothing to do with the greater one. That would generally be forbidden, because you can't give honor to the lower one, the Talmud, the student, when his Rebbe's there, even though the Talmud's a great person. Here it's different, because it's actually showing the process, getting to the top, showing how many people are under the greatness of the Kohen Gadol. Now, the Mishnah continued and said that when they would pass it on to finally to the Kohen Gadol, it says, Kohen Gadol oimit. He would stand up and he would receive the Sefer Torah, and then he would read from it. So the Gemara makes an inference. Mechlal shu yashiv, that means up until now, he was sitting. But that, the Gemara asks a question, but we learned, and other Gersas say, Amamar, because actually this is not a Mishnah or a Braisa, that we learned, and we continue on to Amad Beis, Ein Yeshiva Bazara, no one's allowed to sit in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. As the Pasuk says, it says, first time it says, Lamed Lasharis, to stand and to serve. And it says there also, Ha'imdim Sham Lefnei Hashem, who stand in front of Hashem. And that is, we do not find anyone that's allowed to sit in the courtyard, Ella Malchei Beis David Bavar, only the kings of the kingdom of from the lineage of David HaMelech. Shnemak, it says, the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Vayaveh HaMelech, but that the king David came, Vayeshev Lefnei Hashem, and he sat in front of Hashem. But everyone else, including the Kohen Gadol, is not allowed to sit. So how are we saying that he would get up, stand up to get the Sefer Torah, but he's in the Azara? But how are you allowed to sit in the Azara? He's not allowed to. So So that the Gemara says, Kedamar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda says elsewhere, which the Gemara shortly will illustrate where it is that he says this, but Ezra's Nashrim, that was talking about in the courtyard of the women, Hachanami Ezra's Nashrim, also he was in the Azara, but not in the main Azara, where that is, he's not allowed to sit. So the Ezra's Nashrim, which is not, does not have that same Kedusha of that part of the Azara, and therefore that's where he was sitting up until the Sefer Torah brought him, then he would stand up. Now the Gemara asks of Heichid Rav Chisda, where was this original halacha of Rav Chisda said that we're borrowing for our halacha with the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim? So that's Aha Meisavei. That was going on the following question that they asked. The time, like we learned the Braisa, regarding the parshas of Hakeh, which the Melech does, he reads for the entire Jewish people. So the question of the Braisa was Heichin Kariboy. Where is it that he recites from it? So on that, the time, the comment says Bazar was in the courtyard. Blessed Ben Yaakov Aymer, he argues, he says Bahar Abayis was in the Temple Mount, not in the Azar itself. Shemak says a pasuk in Nehemiah, the Yikra boy lefneher chayv, that he would read from it in front of the open space. Ash lefneher sharmam, that was in front of the gate of the waters. Now the question was, how was he able to take it from there? What does it mean the azara? It sounds like that it was not in the azara, rather it was in the lower sanctified area. On that, v'amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda said be'ezras noshim. Same type of answer. It wasn't in the courtyard per se. It was in the lower area of the courtyard, which is the ezras noshim. That's where it was that the Melech read from the Parshas Hakel, and that's why Rav Lozim Yaakov said it was in the Har Abayis, which was to have this lower sanctity. On that, he says the Tanna Kamma said it was in the courtyard. It wasn't in the main courtyard. It was the ezras noshim, and that would apply similarly for our halacha for the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. That's how he was able to sit in it, although we're calling it the Azara. It was the more eastern part of the Azara, the ezras noshim, which didn't have that same sanctity, and that's why he was able to sit with it. Now the Gemara continues, once we introduced the pasuk in Nehemiah that we brought in for the discussion of where Rav Chisda was from, so the Gemara brings other pesukim in Nehemiah. It says in the pasuk, Vayivarech Ezra es Hashem, that Ezra HaSefer, he blessed Hashem, HaLekim HaGadol, the great God. Now Ezra was in the beginning, in that time of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, my Gadol. What does it mean that he said he blessed Hashem, the great God? What does it mean, Gadol, the great one? So Amar Yisrov Amarav, he says, Shegidlu B'Shem HaMefarsh, how did he make him great? By using Hashem's ineffable name, by using the four-letter name of Hashem, that's how he made him great, that's how he blessed him, was HaKelekim HaGadol, by using his four-letter name. Rav Gidlam, however, Rav Gidl says, based on the Pasuk in Divrei Yemim Aleph, that he said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, blessed Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam, from this world until the next world. And that is, as the Gemara in Brachas explains, that Ezra was misak in that day to say in the Beis HaMikdash at the end of every single bracha, as the Gemara says also Masechtas Tainis, this nusach of min ha'olam ad ha'olam, that was making Hashem's name greater. That's what it means that he blessed Ho'elikim HaGadol. Now the Gemara asks, Amalei Abaya Rav Dimi, Abaya asked Rav Dimi regarding Rav Gidl's interpretation that how did he make him Elokim HaGadol was by saying this nusach of Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam ad ha'olam. But Vidilma Shegidlu B'Shem HaMefurish. Maybe it's like Rabbi Yosef's interpretation, that it meant he made him great by using Hashem's four-letter name. So he answered him, Ein Oymrim Shem HaMefurish B'Gvulim. It cannot be like Rabbi Yosef, because one is not allowed to say the Shem HaMefurish, the four-letter name of Hashem, of Hashem's name, outside of the Azar. That's everywhere outside of the Azar. It's called Gvulim. But the Gemara asks on that, V'loi, is it really true that you can't use Hashem's four-letter name outside of the Azar, of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash? But for Ksiv, there's a pasuk in Nehemiah that says, "Vayamid Ezra haSefer Amigdal Eitz," that Ezra the scribe stood up on the platform of wood. Asha Asu LeDaver, that they made for this thing. V'amrav Gidla, Rav Gidla says, "What is this Daver? Shegidla B'Shem HaMefurish, that he made Hashem great by using Hashem's ineffable name, and that was outside of the Azara." So you see that you could say the Shem HaMefurish outside of the Azara. But the Gemara answers, "No, Hayrash Shahaisa. That was a temporary permission that was given by that time." But generally, it's forbidden, and that's why he didn't want to say like Rav Yosef, that's how he said Hakim, Halakim HaGadol, how do you make him great? Rather, he made him great by saying this other nusach of Baruch Hashem Lekei Yisrael, min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. Now the Gemara quotes also from Nehemiah, where it says, as the Girsois changes to Vayiz'aku b'koil gadol, that they screamed out with a great voice, El Hashem Alekim, to Hashem the God. So the Gemara question is, my Amma, what were they saying? What were they screaming out to Hashem for? Rav says, Vitem Rabbi Yechanan, some say it was Rabbi Yechanan, that they said, Bia Bia, which is a term of screaming and crying. They said, Hainu Hai De'acher Ve'le Mikdasha. This thing was the thing that destroyed our Beis HaMikdash. And that is, as Rashi explains, they were beseeching mercy from Hashem. that the evil inclination of idol worship should be given over to them, that they should get rid of this inclination because it was wreaking too much havoc amongst the Jewish people. It destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, v'kol lehechole, and it made the temple go up in fire. V'katlin l'kul tzadiki, it killed all the righteous people of the Jewish people. V'aglinu l'Yisro ma'arhain, and the Jewish people had to go into exile because of it. V'adayin merakad beinon, and this desire, this problem of idol worship is still dancing among us. So they said, "Klum yahavtilon el lekablule beigra." Now, what was the whole purpose why you gave us this temptation of idol worship, this prohibition? Was to give us reward that we should subdue that inclination and get reward for not doing idol worship. But they said, "Lo ihu beinan, we don't want it. V'le agribinan, we don't want the reward for it. Please get rid of this inclination for idol worship." So Nafalahu Piska Merkia said there was a paper that fell down from the heavens. Davakasa be'emes, that on it was written the word true. And that is what basically was saying was Hashem was agreeing to the Jewish people to their request. That Amr B'chanina says, Shema Mino, we could infer from this incident that the way Hashem agreed to them was by having a paper with the word emes come down, that Chesamish shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes must be that the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. And that's why it said his seal, which was the word truth, because when someone agrees to a petition, he signs his name. This is, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu signing his name. That was his seal, was truth, and that's Hashem's seal. So the Gemara tells us that Yisivu Betanisa, they sat in fasting, Tlasa Yamin Betlasa Lelvasa. They fasted for 3 days and 3 nights. Masru Nehalu, and then the Yetzahara, the evil inclination of idol worship, was given over to the Jewish people. Nafik asa ki gurya denuria. It came out, the likeness of the inclination of idol worship came out in the form of a fiery cub, mi beis kacha kacha, from the holiest of the holies. So you saw this fiery cub, this lion coming out of the holiest of holies. So amalhu navel Yisrael, so the prophet, that is a reference to Zechariah ben Ido, told the Jewish people, says, Hainu yitzu davayitz kechavim, this fiery lion is the inclination of idol worship. Shnem, like it says a pasuk in Zechariah, which records this incident, it says, V'yeme, that he said, this was Zechariah, Zaisarisha, this is the wicked one, this is the evil one. So, Bahadi Ditafsuli, so the Gemara tells us that when they were capturing this lion, which was to get rid of this inclination of idol worship, Ishtamet Benisa, there was a hair that fell out, Mimazi, from its mane, Ramakala, and it lifted up its voice, it made such a shout, V'azukali Arba Mea Parse, and its voice went for a distance of 400 Parse. So Amr, the Jewish people said, Hei Chanavit, what should we do? And that is, Dilma Chas V'Shal, maybe heaven forbid, Merachim Yilem in Shemaya. Heaven will have mercy on this inclination, on the Yetzahara of Avodah Zarah, because everything does the mission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the Yetzahara. And Hashem will see and have mercy and then saying, what are they doing to it? It does the work of Hashem, which is to tempt the Jewish people. So what should we do? It's going to scream, Hashem's going to have mercy on it. So Amr Navi, so the prophet said to them, Shad Yuha Bedudah De'Ava. Throw it into a pot made out of lead, the chafu lapume ba'avra, and then seal the opening with lead. And the reason is the avra mishav shav kala, because lead traps, it draws in sound. And the sound comes into the lead, but it doesn't leave the lead. And therefore its sound, its voice will not be heard. Shanim, like it says in the pasuk over there, that vayyem, that Zechariah said, Zaisarisha, this is the wicked one. Vayashlach Isel Teicha, they threw it into the lead container that contained a measurement of an Eifa. Vayashlach Es Evan Hoiferes Elpia, and they threw the lead stone on the covering, on the opening. Again, they made it out of lead to trap the sound of the Yitzhahara of Avodah Zarah. So, and that's how they got rid of the Yitzhahara of Avodah Zarah, and that's why there's no real Yitzhahara, evil inclination, for idol worship, because that's what they had requested and was given over to their hands. So Amr, the Jewish people said, since we see that this is an opportune time that we were given over the Yitzhahara of Avodah Zarah, let's request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the inclination for immorality being given over to us. That also causes major havoc amongst the Jewish people. So they requested mercy, and the inclination of immorality was given over to the Jewish people. However, Amalahu, the Yitzhahara of the Avera, of immorality, of Arias, said to the Jewish people, Chazu, look, Dikat Lisu Leilahu, if you kill him, in other words, a reference to himself, to the Yitzhah of Arias, Kal Ya'alma, I'm telling you, the world will go under, the world will be destroyed, and that's because there won't be any Pirvarivya. There will be no fruitful and multiply because no one's going to have relations, because no one's going to have that Taiva of Arias. So they didn't know what to do. So Chavshu Et Lasiyemet. They didn't kill it, they didn't destroy it, but they imprisoned this Yitzhahara of Arias for 3 days. And they went to look out to see if they could find an egg that was born that day, a one-day-old egg. B'chol Eretz Yisrael, in the entire land of Israel, they weren't able to find a fresh egg. And that's because not only were there's no desire for the males to copulate with the females, but even what was the eggs that were already developing inside the chicken itself was not heated enough, because that body heat, which is part of the Yetzer of Arayis, had cooled down, and then it didn't even fertilize the egg inside. They couldn't find any eggs coming out of any chickens to eat. So Amadei said, Heichanavit. So they said, what should we do? Nikdale, if we kill the Yetzer of Arayis, so Kaliyama, he's right, the world will just disappear. No one will do anything because there won't be any peer review. Nibai Rachmi al Palge, if we're going to ask mercy from heaven halfway, and that is, let this inclination rule over people halfway, that they should desire their wives and not other women, so that we could have peer review but not have the problem of immorality. But Palge Beriki lo yahavi. In heaven, they don't give a halfway request. So we can't do that either. So kachlini le'ene, what they did was that they blinded the eye of this inclination for immorality by putting in chayil, by putting in this eye cell, v'shavku, and it helped something, and then they left him alone. V'hani d'loy megari b'le inshe b'krivtein. What it did help was that now a person does not desire his relatives, and that is his mother, his sister, things like that, that are close relatives. That's what it helped that much, because the inclination for immorality was so strong by poking at its eyes, it helped that much, but there's still the desire for other people, but it helped at least for one's own relatives. Now the Gemara goes back, b'marova masnu hachi. In Eretz Yisrael, they had the following version of the discussion that we had before regarding this, that Ezra said, Hagadol, that he blessed Hashem, who is Halakim Hagadol, the great God. They said in the following version, that Rav Gidol Amar, he said, Gadol, what does that mean? Gadol, shegidlo b'shem ha-mefurish, that he made Hashem great by using Hashem's four-letter name. Rav Masna says a different interpretation. He says, based on the pasuk in Nehemiah, that Ezra had used this terminology, who Ezra was from the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, which again was in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, that it says, Hakel HaGadol, the great God, Hakibu, the mighty one, Ba'anoyren, the awesome one. That is what Ezra had said, which was thereby making Hashem great, by making it Hakel HaGadol. How do you make him great? By saying these terms, these descriptions of Hakel HaGadol, Hagibur Vanar. Now the Gemara tells that Bahadur of Masna, this interpretation of Ramasna, which tells us what it means that he made him Gadol, is Matyul Ad Rabbi Shuban Levi. That supports what Rabbi Shuban Levi had said. Because the Amir Shuban Levi, he said, Lamanik Rashman Anshe Knesset Gedolah. We know the name, but what's the reason for the name? Why were they called the men of the great assembly? What is HaGedolah? So that's because actually related to what Rav Masna was saying, related to this idea of making Hashem Gedolah, by making him great, which is how? Shechzira Torah LeYoshen, they returned the crown to how it originally had been. And that's because as follows, the Gemara explains. Because originally, Asa Maisha Amma, Maisha originally came in the times of the Midbar, in the Pasuk in Devarim, and he said, Hakel HaGadol, the great God, Hagibra, the mighty one, Vahanayra, and the awesome one. Now these were the descriptions, that the appellations that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to God. Now, Asa Yirmiyah Ava Amar, but Yirmiyah came later on, and he said, what do you mean? Nachr Mekarkrin Behechalei, there are non-Jews croaking in Hashem's sanctuary, which is that he saw the princes of Nebuchadnezzar coming into the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash, and they were making all these types of sounds, and he said, Ayin Eraisim, where's the awesomeness of Hashem? I don't see any awesomeness with the non-Jews just defiling the Beis HaMikdash. So Lo Yamanayra, he didn't say anymore the appellation of awesome, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah Lamed Beis, it says, a whole tefillah, Oysa Chesed La'alofim, Mishalm Oven, Abes Al-Chik B'nei Machreim, Hakel HaGadol V'Agibur, Hashem Tzavok Hashem, he leaves out V'Hanayra, because I don't see any awesomeness of Hashem. Asa Daniel Amar, later on, Daniel came and he said, Nachr Mishtabdim Bebonav. The non-Jews are enslaving the Jewish people, and that's the 70 years of Golas Bavel. Aigvar Isab, where's the might of Hashem? His people are being enslaved. So Loim Agibur, he didn't say the mighty one. And that's in his Tefillah, in his Sefer, in Daniel, Perek Tes. So they started cutting off the praises of Hashem. But then came along the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, and that's a reference to Ezra, who has said this Elikim HaGadol. Adarabba, that's why they call the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. He said, to the contrary, Zuhi Gvuras Gvurasei, this is his ultimate might, Shekoivish Es Yitzray, because he conquers his inclination, and that is all these years that his people were being enslaved, Shenaisen Erech HaPayim L'Rasham, that he holds in his anger to the wicked ones, for all the decrees that they decreed on his people, on his children. And this is also his awesomeness. And that is from the day of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, you learn Hashem's awesomeness. Because all the nations gathered together to annihilate, to destroy the Jewish people. And guess what? The Jewish people are still around. Because if not for the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how is it possible for one nation to last amongst all the nations, especially under all the conditions that the Jewish people are in, that every time they try to decimate them, they're not in their own land, and all the different factors that go along with that, as a famous idea that the Yavid says, that he says the greatest miracle of them all is not all the other miracles, it's the miracle of the Jewish people that they still survive. So that's why they were machzor taliyation, and that's the idea of Rav Masna of Hagdaila, to Anshek Nes Hagdaila, because they brought back the appellations of Akel HaGadol, HaGibah, HaNaira, because actually this is the greatest might of Hashem that is holding back his anger. And it's the greatest awesomeness that the Jewish people are surviving under these impossible conditions. Now the Gemara asks, however, V'Rabbanon, however, Yirmiyah and Daniel, how did they do that? And they uprooted an institution that Moshe had already put into the prayers. Moshe Rabbeinu had said, and that's why we do Ba'ar Tefillah, now how did Yirmiyah and Daniel come and just pull out? He stopped saying Hagibah, he stopped saying Hanayr. How could they do that? So the Omer Belazar says, since they knew by Hashem that he's truthful, and that if he agrees to the truth, he hates lies. Therefore, they couldn't lie to him. In other words, they didn't see his might. They didn't see his awesomeness. And therefore, how could I say it? It would be a lie. And therefore, Hashem would agree to them. And that's why they stopped saying it. They saw greatness. And they saw might. And they saw awesomeness. And that's why they returned it. That was why they were called the Anshek Knesset Hagadayla. And that's the same thing when Ezra says that he blessed Halakim Hagadol. It means, according to the interpretation of Rav Masna, that he said that they returned by saying Hakel Hagadol Hagibar Vahanayr. Now the Mishnah said that the Kari Achri Mois Va'ach B'Aser, that so when the Kohen Gadol would receive it, then he would read from it Parshas Achri Mois, and in Parshas Emor, the Parsha of Ach B'Aser, which talks about the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara asks, Vermino, but there seems to be a contradiction from Mishnah Masechtas Megillah. The Mishnah there says, Medalgam Navi, when someone's reading for the Tzibur, he's reading from the Navi, from the prophets, then he could skip from one place to another. The ain medalgam a Torah, but you're not allowed to skip when you're reading from a sefer Torah, from what's called Torah. Now, what is he reading from? He's reading from the Chumash, from the Torah, from a sefer Torah, and yet it seems like he's skipping from Achri Mois, goes Parshas Kedoshim, then in Emor, where he would read out as part of Ach Ba'asa, how could he skip? I thought you're not allowed to skip as the Mishnah Masechet Megillah says. So the Gemara says that loikash, it's not a difficulty. Because Khan, over here in Masechet Megillah, where it says you're not allowed to skip, is b'chdei sheyafsik ha-turguman. That means to say that the interpreter is going to have to stop for a while until you get a chance to turn all the pages. And that is, the way they used to read from the Sefer Torah was someone would read, then the populace that didn't understand Lashon HaKodesh, they understood Aramaic better, so there was a maturguman that would interpret for the time that so he would read, he would interpret, and he would continue reading. Now, if the two parashas are very far from each other, and that is, it's going to take such a long time to roll the Sefer Torah to the next part, and by then the interpreter will have already finished interpreting the pasuk that was read first, then it comes out that the public, the people, they're sitting and waiting, and that's not honorable for the Tzibur. That's when we said that one is not allowed to skip from parasha to parasha when he's reading the Sefer Torah. However, Khan, over here in our Mishnah, we're told him, b'chdei shelo yafsik haturguman, the interpreter is not going to have to stop when everyone's just going to be sitting waiting for them to be rolling the Sefer Torah, because the parasha of Ach Ba'asher and Parshas Emor is not that far after parasha of Achri Mois, and therefore they could quickly roll in the meantime while the Meturgaman is interpreting, and therefore since they're not going to have to wait, it's not a disrespect for the Tzibur, and that's why we're allowed to go ahead and skip from one to another, because there's no wait time that's going to be there. However, the Gemara refutes this answer, because V'Aloch Katani, actually in that Mishnah Masechet Megillah, it's taught when it qualifies this halacha of allowing to skip from Navi, but not from the Sefer Torah. It says, Medalgam Navi, it says, like we said, you're allowed to skip when one is reading from the prophets. Ve Medalgam Torah, however, one cannot skip when he's reading from the Torah. Now, Ve'adkam Medali, the Mishnah there says, now in Navi, when you're allowed to skip, how much is allowed to be skipped? How far can the distance be from one place in the prophets to the other? And that the Mishnah says, Bechdei shelo yafsik haturguman, so that it won't be enough time that the interpreter will have stopped, and then the people are just waiting for him to roll. That's up until how much you can skip. Now, so the inference is, habatara klal klal loy, but that sounds like, when one is reading from the Torah, that means even within that time span, one is not allowed to skip. So how can we give that answer by saying that there in Mishnah Masechta Megillah it says you're not allowed to skip means longer than that time? We're talking about less than that time, but it's not true because it says clearly that dad you're allowed to is even by Navi that it says you're allowed to skip, and Sefer Torah you're not allowed to is only within that time. Must be Sefer Torah even within that time one's not allowed to skip. So therefore, Amar Abaye, rather Abaye gives a different answer. It says Loikasha, it's not a difficulty. Because Khan, in our Mishnah, besides the fact that it's within that time span, because we're not allowed to keep the public waiting, is we're talking about also Be'inyan Echad. We're talking about it's one topic, which these two parashas of Achri Mois and Ach Ba'aser in Parashas Emor are both talking about Yom Kippur. So therefore we could skip, and as long as it's within the time span, that the translator will not be waiting. That's because he's still interpreting. Khan, however, over here in the Mishnah Masechtas Megillah that we learned, that even within that time span, one is not allowed to skip by Torah, only by Navi, was talking about Bishnei Inyonin. It was talking about when there's two different topics that you're reading from the Sefer Torah. And the reason is, as Rashi explains, since the words of the Torah are prohibitions, punishments, commandments, therefore it has to enter the heart of the one, of the tzibur that they're listening. Now, if you're going to be skipping from one line to another line, which when you're talking about two different topics, it's not going to be easy to understand what's going on from the flow of the reading. And therefore, that's what the Mishnah Masechta Megillah was saying, that even if you're not going to have to keep the people waiting, you're not allowed to skip from one to another when you're reading from the Sefer Torah, because that's things that you really have to be focused for. And that's why it says you can't skip. But over here, we're talking about in our Mishnah where the Kohen Gadol skipped, it's all the same topic of Yom Kippurim. And therefore, since it's within that time span that no one's going to have to be waiting, that's why we were allowed to skip. And that's what the Gemara says, Vatanya, somebody learned the Brisa, the same idea. That says, Medalgim b'Torah b'inyan yechad, you are allowed to skip in the Torah if it's one topic. U'benavi b'shnei inyan, and regarding the prophets, even if it's two different topics. And kamakan b'chtei shle yavsik ha-turgum, and however, both of them, as the Mishnah, Masechta Megillah qualifies, both of them have to be within the time span that the translator, the interpreter, will not have been finished yet, and therefore, you're allowed to skip one on the same topic and one on two different topics, again, because it's not a cover for the tzibur to be waiting while you're rolling, either in the Sefer Torah or in the Navi. However, the Brisa continues, Ve'ein medalgin menavi le'navi. However, although we said you could skip in the prophets even two different topics, but not from one sefer of Navi to another sefer of Navi. However, u'benavi shoshneim aser medalgin. However, in Trei Aser, which has 12 different prophets, one is allowed to skip because we consider it like one sefer. And the Brisa concludes on the top of Ayin and Aleph, u'bevat shalei dalig mesefer sefer l'tchelase. As long as you don't skip backwards. And that is, if you go to Mafreya, that's prohibited. So although you can go in even Trei Aser from one to another, but you cannot go backwards, skipping backwards. It would have to be skipping forward.